Understand God's Will for My Life by Jim Harper. Chapter 5, I Was Made to Choose.
The Old Testament is where God gave us His Ten Commandments. This is also when God told us that He would need to live among us because our sins would require a Redeemer. You know, God's plan was put in place at the beginning of time and was kick-started in the Garden of Eden. The very moment that Adam sinned and started the downfall of the human race, it was probably God's Son, Jesus, in the garden who was there and knew at that moment that He would need to save us. If God didn't know that Adam would sin, then He made a mistake. But God never makes a mistake. This means that God knew Adam would sin, and God also knew that at the very moment that Adam sinned, that He would need to save us from our sins. At the very moment that Adam sinned, Jesus probably knew that He would need to die for us. It was the only way. Of course, Jesus wouldn't need to die for us for another 1,000 years, but the plan had been started. It took another 1,000 years for us to learn that we needed a Savior. But the Savior, He was already known. Jesus was the only man who could live a sinless life and become the ultimate sacrifice for all of us. But God put a caveat on saving us from our sins. We must believe. We must believe that God so loved the world that He sent His only Son, Jesus, to earth to save us from our sins, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. There is no other way, or by no other name, by which one can be saved. Everyone who believes in Jesus and proclaims it will be set free from sin. This includes your past, present, and all future sins. It is by God's grace that you are saved, through your faith alone. There is nothing else you can do to gain a ticket into heaven. There is no way to earn it or buy it. You must simply declare your faith in Jesus. You know, God makes this gift available to everyone, but to be saved, you must verbally accept His gift. But you must believe in God's plan, the plan that He foretold in the Old Testament and fulfilled in the New Testament. God gives you righteousness and eternity in heaven with Him through your faith in Jesus. That's it. Through Jesus, your wounds will be healed. In the moments just before Jesus was about to die on the cross, God the Father turned His eyes away from Jesus, and the sins of the world were heaped on Him. At that very moment, God had to disconnect His holiness from Jesus. This was the only time this would ever happen. This is because God the Father cannot be a part of sin, any sin. In complete agony, Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" This separation and Jesus' proclamation as He suffered this unbelievably excruciating death was so that Jesus could bear the sins of the world. But only those who believe in Jesus and His death on the cross for our sins will be saved. It is the perfect plan, executed to perfection. But we need to believe. This was the culmination of God's plan, the plan that was created at the beginning of time and started in the Garden of Eden when Adam sinned. God knew all of this would happen, so He created the perfect plan. Those who believe in His perfect plan will be saved. Those who don't believe, well, their future won't be so glorious. Jesus' death on the cross was the defeat of Satan and sin. God's rescue plan was now complete. Anyone who puts their faith in Jesus will no longer go to hell with Satan. On the third day after Jesus was crucified, Jesus rose from the dead and showed Himself to His disciples and hundreds of other people. This was to simply prove who He was, God in the flesh, and to remind us of His plan. There are many historical documents from this time period that state that people saw Jesus after He was crucified and buried. Jesus then visited various people for the next 40 days before He rose to heaven where He is today, at the right hand of God. As Jesus hung on the cross, there were two other crosses next to Him. with criminals hanging on each. One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at Jesus. "Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the second criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God," he said, "since you are under the same sentence? We are being punished justly, but this man has done nothing wrong." Then the second criminal said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus replied, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." Jesus, our good shepherd, came to save the lost. Just minutes before his death, Jesus saved another of his lost sheep, the criminal who was hanging next to him. He was a lost soul who heard and recognized God's voice, and he believed. Well, what does this mean to you? It should mean something very special. It means that no matter what type of life you have lived, even if you have committed grievous crimes, you still have the opportunity to turn your life over to Jesus and be saved before you die. That is a lot of grace. Jesus' death on the cross looked to be Satan's victory. Satan, who was watching, thought it was the defeat of God and his kingdom. But in reality, it was Satan's demise. It is now Satan who is condemned. Would you like to accept Jesus' gift right now? Don't wait. Remember, Satan is hoping you will delay this decision, but don't delay. Simply say the following prayer out loud and believe that Jesus came to earth to die for your sins. Dear God, I don't understand everything, but I know I am a sinner. Because I am a sinner, I deserve death and separation from you. Thank you for sending Jesus to die in my place. I trust in Jesus alone to forgive my sins and accept his gift of eternal life. I pray that Jesus be my personal Savior and the Lord of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, if you've repeated this prayer and you believe in Jesus, you've been saved. You have been saved to spend eternity in heaven with God. In your remaining years here on earth, there is nothing more that you must do. But there may be many things that you will want to do. You are now blessed and God's Holy Spirit has entered your heart. And you now have a mission. But don't worry, it isn't a hard mission. It's something that you will want to do. In fact, it is something that you will love doing. If you've accepted Jesus as your Savior, you now have the opportunity to let your light shine before others so they may also see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Do you understand that not making a decision is a decision? Think about this for a moment. It might not get done if you delay your decision any longer. This is what Satan is hoping you will do. Satan is hoping that you will not accept Jesus' free gift, which means Satan still has a chance. Satan knows that if you accept Jesus as your Savior, his opportunity to bring you to hell with him, it's over. Satan is already condemned, but when you accept Jesus' free gift, you will no longer be condemned. You will be saved. You will have opened the door of your heart and Jesus will have come in. He now wishes to share his glorious plan with you, but you're condemned until the moment that you accept Jesus as your Savior. So make your decision today. If you accept Jesus into your heart, you will want to live your life in a way that is pleasing to God. It's not because you have to, it's because you will want to. God knew you before you were born, and he saw that you were doomed to destruction because of Adam's sin. So he came to earth, lived a sinless life, and he died for you. He died for you so you wouldn't spend eternity in hell, which is where we all deserve to go for violating just one of God's commands. God didn't have to do what he did, but he wanted to. He loves you that much. Even if you were the only person on earth, he would have come to earth and died for you and your sins to save you from destruction. Because of what Jesus did for you, you will want to honor him with your choices. He honored us with his death. The very least we can all do is honor him with our choices. The Bible gives us instructions as to how we can live our lives so we can all be salt and light in the world, glorifying God in all that we do. Scripture gives us guidance regarding the choices that we make, living as God's sons and daughters. His guidance includes living by his standards and living by his greatest commandment, which is love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is this: love your neighbor as yourself. Here are just some of the areas where you will want to align your choices and your decisions with God's will. First, you'll want to prioritize. Second, study the Bible. Third, go ahead and ask God. Fourth, quiet yourself and then listen. Number five, seek godly counsel. Sixth, discern when to act. Seventh, exercise your faith. And finally, learn from your mistakes, which we must all do. Let's look at each of these. First, prioritize. If you believe in Jesus, what are your priorities as a believer? According to Jesus, the greatest commandment is to love God and to love others. This will be a very good start to your list. You will want to make decisions that honor God, and then you will want to make decisions that honor and love your family and your neighbors as yourself. That's right. You are to love your neighbors as yourself. Secondly, study the Bible. When making key decisions, there's a very important question that you should always ask. What does God say about it? When facing important decisions, you should search the Bible because this is where God's guidance is located. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. This is exactly what we need to do when making important decisions. Let God's Word direct your footsteps. Number three, ask God. If you want to know what God wants, ask Him. He's right here with you and me. In other words, pray, and then expect Him to answer your prayer. But don't always expect His answer to come to you directly or right away. Oftentimes it's through someone else or through a totally unpredictable situation where He answers your prayer. He might speak to you through a friend or even someone you don't know. He's very good at that, by the way. God also has an incredible sense of humor, so you might receive your answer through the weirdest of situations or circumstances. You could be at a place you have never been to before, like a gas station. At a time that you could never have planned, you just had a flat tire. Surrounded by people you have never met, such as a bunch of teens stopping in to buy some candy, and then, bang, your answer is given to you. When you hear God's answer, be sure to praise Him for His responsiveness and His love for you. And then laugh your head off at the way He answered your prayer. He just loves doing this to people who love Him. Also, be sure to ask God for wisdom, for wisdom will enter your heart and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. All godly wisdom starts with the fear of the Lord, and the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But don't be a fool. Fools will despise wisdom and instruction from the Lord. God wants to guide you and help you make decisions, and He promises to teach and instruct you through His Word. For God knows the plans that He has for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope in a future. Let Him guide you through His Word. Number four, quiet yourself and then listen. You know, many of us pray, but we never listen. We view prayer as one-way communication. You know, but God can't talk to us if we are continually talking, so stop and listen. Listening is probably the most important form of communication. Learning to recognize God's voice is one of the most important aspects of a believer's life. We will continue to struggle with our decisions if we don't learn to recognize God's voice. Remember the lambs that recognize their shepherd's voice and they follow only that voice? The lambs that don't recognize their shepherd's voice, well, they know not to follow that strange voice. We also need to recognize our shepherd's voice so we aren't led down in the wrong direction. For God knows that those who recognize His voice will follow Him. Number 5, seeking godly counsel. For the really important decisions in your life, it is wise to get counsel from other godly leaders in your life. It could be a parent or a pastor or even a friend who is well versed in Scripture. They can be of immense help to you. They can help you remove any doubts that you have. The very last thing you should do is isolate yourself and not seek counsel. Of course, the strongest counsel you can receive is from Jesus Himself, so don't be afraid to ask Him. Continue to surround yourself with people who are further along in their faith journey than you are. Take advantage of friendly counsel and learn from your mistakes so your own personal learning curve won't be as steep. You can take comfort in knowing that your mistakes may help others in the future, in their time of need. When others are troubled, you will be able to give them the same comfort that God gave you. Number 6, discerning when to act. What is the wisest choice? That is the question. Use your Spirit-filled mind to think through the issues and then decide on the wisest course. Through the Holy Spirit, you now have wisdom that will guide you and direct you. Ask God for guidance. So, how do we know we are doing the right things at the right time, in God's time? Well, God knows when the time is right. We must pray and listen. We must be sensitive to how God may lead us. Doing things God's way will save us time, energy, and money, not mentioning avoiding lots of problems. Number 7, exercise your faith. We must remember that decision-making is a process that takes time. You may need to submit your will over and over to God throughout the decision-making process, and then have faith and confidence that He will reveal His will to you. Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and He will establish your plans for you. It is highly unlikely that God will reveal His plan to you if He knows that you won't obey Him. When your will is fully submitted to God, you can have confidence that He will illuminate your path. Number 8, learning from your mistakes. We will always make mistakes, and lots of them. But being a follower of Jesus does not exempt you from the responsibility of becoming a better decision maker based on the mistakes that you have already made. When you do happen to make a mistake, confess it to God and ask Him for His forgiveness. Also, don't allow the enemy to condemn you. Be sure to ask God for wisdom. God wishes to impart His wisdom on you, but you need to ask for it. When you do make a decision, and if you are blessed by the result, be sure to give God the credit and the glory. Also hope that others, someday, will look on your life and learn how you made wise choices that glorify God. Little by little, you will gain wisdom from God's Word as you trust in Him. You will also begin to see the results reflected in your decisions. Can God protect me? Absolutely. But will He protect me? Well, it depends on His will, and we may not know what is best for us. You know, God doesn't promise us that He will protect us from all the bad things that happen in the world. What He does promise is He will walk beside us during difficult times. He guarantees that He will never leave us or forsake us, and He will give us strength and an inner peace whenever we face difficult times. Even though God has the ability to protect us from physical harm and deliver us from trouble, it might not be His will to do so. Sometimes He uses trials and difficult circumstances to purify us. Remember, we should always consider it pure joy whenever we face trials of many kinds. God sometimes tests our faith in order to develop a higher level of faith by allowing us to grow through trials so we can persevere and grow to maturity. When this is the case, protecting us from trials would not be beneficial. So we need to use our pain and our suffering to exercise our faith. Consider troubles not as burdens, but as spiritual exercise. When you exercise your faith, you will start to build spiritual muscles. And the stronger your spiritual muscles become, the more you'll be able to appreciate what God is doing in your life. If you do that, God will give you a peace that surpasses all understanding. Peace that He gives you is free. Lucky for you, it's a peace that does not depend on a specific circumstance and it can be used in every situation. We must always remember that God does a lot more in our life than what we will ever see. His protection is far more vast and far-reaching than our narrow-minded understanding. God never promised us a version of heaven while we're here on earth. What God does promise is eternal life to all who trust in Jesus for salvation. Jesus makes it clear that we should continually ask God for whatever we need, but that doesn't mean that He will always give it to us, because what we ask for is not always what is best for us. God will surround you with His favor as a shield. If you call on Him and acknowledge His name, God will answer. There is one overarching reason why God blesses His people. It's so they can bring glory to His name. He also blesses and gifts certain people so they can serve and bless others. But for God to bless us, we must be obedient to His word. God repeatedly promises us that He will bless us abundantly so we will abound in all good works. For Him to fulfill that promise, we must truly believe that He will. God's promises may seem impossible to you, but for God, who has created the universe, the earth, all living creatures, as well as you and me, nothing is impossible. God promises to give you the desires of your heart, but you must ask Him for it. You do not receive because you do not ask. Unfortunately for many, the only time God hears from us is when we need or want something. We can go for weeks, sometimes months, possibly even years, without ever calling on His name. And then, as soon as something tragic happens, who do you call? Yep, we call on God. This is like having an acquaintance that asks for money that we haven't seen in years. What will be our answer? Well, if we're honest, we'll probably say, "I barely know you." And later, we'll probably be thinking to ourselves, "Wow, he has quite the nerve to ask us for money when I barely know him." So, why would that be any different with God? Do you think we can just call on Him every few months or years and only when something bad happens and then ask Him if He will rid us of our problem? That would be really inconsiderate, wouldn't it? But that's what we do. And then, when God doesn't answer our prayers, we get all mad and huffy about it. Think about it. This is exactly what we do. For Him to bless you, He has to know you, and He has to trust you. He needs to know that you will do what He asks when He asks. Our inattentiveness to God and our disobedience to His word will always be an obstacle to receiving His blessings. We must do what His word says. Whoever looks intently into His word and forgets what it says, well, they only deceive themselves. Whoever looks intently into His word and does what it says, they'll be blessed in all that they do. There is no doubt that Jesus hears every prayer, whether the person believes in Jesus or not. God, He's omniscient, which means He hears and sees everything that happens on the earth. Do you think there's any place on earth where you could possibly hide where God will not hear your prayer? The answer is no. Everything you do and think is laid bare before the eyes of the one to whom you must give account someday. Everything. So nobody should have any doubt that God hears all prayers. But does God respond to all prayers? And does God respond to prayers from people who believe in Him as well as those who don't? Well, Jesus not only hears the prayers from those who believe in Him, He answers them, but not always in the way that we want or in the way that we ask. He tells believers to boldly approach His throne so He can help us in our time of need. In Luke 11 we're told, "So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be opened." Jesus asks those who believe in Him to pour out your heart to Him because He is our refuge. But this doesn't mean that the answer to your prayer will always be a yes. Sometimes it'll be a no, and sometimes, well, the answer may be something very different than what you ever expected. This is because Jesus knows you and what you need far better than you do. The nice thing about our prayers is Jesus knows our intentions. We don't need to use fancy words. If our intentions aren't right with Him, He will see right through it. He knows whether answering a prayer will be good for you or not. He knows whether satisfying a prayer will further His kingdom or not. He knows whether satisfying a prayer will allow us to serve or bless others or not. This means that not all of our prayers are consistent with His will, so some of them may go unanswered. They may be overruled. You know, Jesus died to atone for the guilt of our sins. This means that our sins are atoned for through Jesus' death. And if we believe in Him, the guilt of our sins are removed. In fact, in Jesus' eyes, our sins don't look like sins at all. Though our sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. This means that God does not hate His people when they sin, those who do believe in Jesus, because His children are in His Son, Jesus. For He chose believers in Jesus before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in His sight. This means there is no question that God hears and answers the prayers of those who believe in Him, for the prayers of His children are both powerful and effective. So, who will be blessed by Jesus? Well, it's not who you think. In Matthew 5 it says, "Now when Jesus saw the crowds, He went up a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to Him, and He began to teach them. He said, 'Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Finally, rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you.'" Even though many of us would like to have success, popularity, wealth, happiness, and a lot of valuable things, well, these aren't the types of blessings that God wants us to have. He wants us to have Him. He wants us to have His love, His forgiveness, His kindness, His service to others, and so much more. Because these are the things that will be important in His kingdom someday. When we see people who seem to be happy with all their pricey stuff, it surely doesn't mean they're happy and they'll reap His eternal rewards. From outward appearance, they may look happy, but outward appearances are deceiving. And where do we learn that from? If you're in His presence, you'll be blessed in areas that are meant for His children. You will have true joy and true peace in your life. You won't need anything else but Him to make you happy. Follow Jesus and you'll find rest for your soul. If you remain in His presence, you'll be blessed in areas that are meant for His children. You will have true joy and true peace in your life. You won't need anything else but Him to make you happy. Follow Jesus and you'll find rest for your soul. But regarding sin, you can't be set free from sin until Jesus sets you free. Until you accept Jesus' gift, you are separated from God by your sin. Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. But He tells those who have not been saved that you will find Him when you seek Him with all your heart. God takes no pleasure in the death of the unsaved. There's a beautiful symphony when we follow God's Word. When we follow God's Word and we put our trust in Jesus, causes us to have pure joy in everything that we do, which makes us want to glorify God. And then, when we glorify God, well, God wishes to heap His blessings on us. This will give you even more joy. And with our increased joy, well, we want to glorify God. You see what's happening here? It's a wonderful symphony. But those who don't glorify God, they will continue to walk in darkness, and they'll be without pure joy in their life. For Psalm 128 says, "Blessed are all who fear the Lord, who walk in obedience to Him. You will eat the fruit of your labor. Blessings and prosperity will be yours." You know, being blessed is living a life that actually works. It's a life full of joy, even when difficulties come your way. It's a life that has an attitude of gratitude and sees the positives in all of life's circumstances, as bad as they may seem when you first experience them. It's a life that looks forward to what lies ahead instead of looking in the rearview mirror and feeling bad about what could have happened. The fear of the Lord and accepting Jesus into your heart is the key to this incredible treasure life that you, yes, you can have. John 15 says, "You do not choose me, but I choose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name the Father will give you." What a wonderful promise. So why does it feel like you are not receiving any blessings? Well, first of all, you must be obedient to God's word to receive His blessings. Being disobedient or living in sin will always be an obstacle to receiving God's blessings. God hates sin, and He gets angry with the wicked. But God also loves each and every person, and He desires for everyone to repent and be saved. God repeatedly promises to bless each and every person beyond what they can possibly imagine if they follow His commands. But receiving God's blessings might require you to wait on Him. God's timing isn't our timing. Oftentimes, our desire is to have God's blessings come our way right now. We're so impatient. But God doesn't operate this way. He will bless you when it's the right time to bless you. And if you have to wait, that might be God testing your faith. Your ability to wait on Him will require you to be confident in who He is and what He's doing in your life. You must be confident in His wisdom, His timing, and His love. And you must trust in His standards, His promises, and His power. You need to have faith as small as a mustard seed. If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, He promises that nothing will be impossible for you. God will send His blessings to those who seek Him and wait for Him. Waiting on God teaches us to have a single and a consistent focus on Him as the source of our life. But as you wait, don't fret that other people seem to be succeeding in their wicked ways. God can be your rock and your fortress. If you put your trust in Him, your foundation will never, ever be shaken. You might run out of strength if you attempt to operate on your own power. But God will give strength to the weary, and He increases the power of the weak. It's possible that you are not receiving God's blessings because you are not committed to His word and His teachings. In the eyes of the Lord, you might be considered lukewarm. When things are going well for you, you ignore Him. And then, when something bad happens in your life, you cry out to Him. You're cold, then warm, then cold, then warm. And since you don't trust in Him for every major decision, how can He trust you? God needs your commitment. He needs to know where you stand and whether you trust in His standards and are willing to live by His standards. Having a lack of commitment to God and His standards is probably the biggest problem in our society today. Everybody seems to want everything, and they'll do whatever it takes to get it, including lying, cheating, being dishonest, and even if it means getting ahead at the expense of others. Many people seem to be living a life without any real commitments or even standards. Many people will say what they believe you want to hear with no moral thought as to what they are actually saying. They will say they believe in God, yet don't live according to His standards. They will pick and choose God's standards that they like and then disobey the rest, as if these other standards don't mean anything. Here's a couple of examples. A person will get married and then shortly thereafter will file for divorce. They will attend church, and as they leave the church parking lot, they'll cut somebody off and shake their fist. This is a grievous and non-committed lifestyle that God abhors. God needs your commitment. If you are not 100% for God and committed to His principles, well, then you're against Him. He must know that He can trust you with these things and much more. It's all about character. Your character is all about the decisions that you make, and your decisions must be consistent and trustworthy to Him. God's looking for people after His own heart. If God can't count on you to be consistent and trustworthy with your choices, well, His blessings would only bring out the worst in you. For God to send you His blessing, you must be dependable, and He must know that you will always do the right thing, even if it hurts. He must know that if He blesses you, you'll be a blessing to others. If you always do and say things that please the crowd instead of doing what's right, God will know that He can't depend on you to make the right decision when He needs it the most. If He can't depend on you, why would He risk blessing you with the things that might go to waste? God might test your faith to see if you can be trusted. You'll be blessed when you're at the end of your rope. You'll be blessed when you keep peace between those who argue and corrupt. You'll be blessed for being persecuted while holding firm to your faith. You'll be blessed for showing mercy to those who persecute you. You'll be blessed for helping those in need. You'll be blessed when you hear the word of God and obey it. You'll be blessed when your mind and your heart is right with God. Ask God to help you align your mind and your heart with His mind and His heart. Admit your moral bankruptcy and ask God to forgive you for your sins. Ask for wisdom. Instead of relying on your own strength, turn your life over to Jesus and rely on His strength. When you are weary, you will find rest for your soul through God. Only through God will you be able to fill the emptiness in your soul, the emptiness that you might be trying to fill with more stuff in your life. Only Jesus can fill your emptiness. It becomes an incredible blessing when we care for others. Many people think that it's those we care for who are blessed. In reality, it's just the opposite. Those who are blessed are those who care. It's resisting selfishness and considering the needs of others over your own. It means sharing what God has given you to help others. It means blessing others because you are blessed. It is letting God's blessing flow through you to others. Helping others is an incredible gift that we can give to our children. It's a beautiful circle of blessings, and God has taught us it is more blessed to give than to receive. Ask for wisdom and you will love life, and the one who cherishes understanding will soon prosper. But never forget, even when we are committed to God and we're doing our best to bless others, we will still experience difficulties and pain and heartache, suffering, hardship, and injustice. When we face trials, God will give strength to the weary and will increase the power of the weak. So, the key to receiving God's blessings is to live the type of life where He can trust you. End of chapter 5. Please proceed to chapter 6.